Praise the Lord. Father, I just pray now that in these next few minutes, Lord, that you would just, Lord, bless and anoint. Lord, I recognize my own lack, my own need, but I'm trusting you, Lord, Lord, to come and bless and to anoint as we open up your word in Jesus' name, and we thank you. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. The adult Sunday school classes were in the Gospel of John chapter 20, and we're going to go back there to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We may talk about some of the same things that were talked about in Sunday school, maybe expand on it just a little bit, and look at this from maybe just a little bit different perspective. There's so many wonderful resurrection texts in the Bible. And as Brother Bowman mentioned in Sunday school, all of the gospel accounts, not only that, but in the book of Acts and many of the writings of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians, and other places in the New Testament, the resurrection is the central theme of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you remove the fact of the resurrection, then everything else that we believe, our preaching is in vain, the Apostle Paul says. Our faith is in vain. All of our efforts to proclaim the gospel, our message is empty and meaningless if there's no resurrection. But we know that there is. Amen. And we place our confidence in the Lord. And it's not just something that we read. While I know that the Word of God is our source and it's powerful, I also know that we can enter into a personal relationship with this resurrected Jesus. And that's what we want to talk to you about for just a few minutes here today. John chapter 20, the first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early. This is verse number 1. When it was yet dark, under the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth. We've got biblical precedent for running on Easter Sunday morning. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, came first to the sepulchre. He, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. I'd like to ask you a question this morning, and then I'm going to explain to you in the next few minutes exactly what I'm talking about. Have you seen the Lord? Have you seen the Lord? Now, this account really, it focuses on this one person. The primary person here in chapter 20 is this lady by the name of Mary Magdalene. Now, I know that the other gospel accounts, they talk about other women that were with her. They give some variations of what took place. But John, for some particular reason, and there's nothing in the scripture that doesn't have some purpose or reason for the reason that it's there. There's a reason for the reason. And John is describing Mary as really being alone, as being the one that leads the way to the garden and to the tomb. And so the others aren't mentioned. And so I think that the reason why is that there is to be a focus upon her and upon what she's doing, a focus upon her life and how that Jesus had made such a difference in her life. And I just pray today that we all will be reminded of the fact that Jesus revealed himself after he was resurrected. He revealed himself only to those who believed. He didn't reveal himself as a resurrected Jesus to those that crucified him. He didn't reveal himself to the Pharisees or the Sanhedrin. He did not reveal himself to Pilate or to the Jews. All of those that were involved in his trial, his judgment, his crucifixion, he didn't reveal himself to them. But all of the times that Jesus revealed himself as alive, he revealed himself to all those that believed. Right. Praise God. And there's some significance to that. But Mary Magdalene is a special lady. She's special not because of her past, not because of what she was, because we all have some little understanding of her past and her life. She was called Magdalene because she was from a place called Magdala. This was a seaport, wealthy, likely a fishing port. And what I read about Magdala, that it was pretty much a wealthy place, and everybody that lived there was pretty well financially well off. And so she had some things going for her. Other places in the scripture, it kind of gives the idea that Mary Magdalene may have been a person who was immoral and a lady of ill repute. Although we can't really say for sure, but we do know that the Bible says of her that Jesus' encounter with her was he set her free from seven demonic spirits that controlled her life. And so no matter what all was going on in her life, really the number seven is the number of completion. And so really the message about Mary Magdalene's life before Jesus was this, that she was totally dominated and under the control of Satan himself. She was dominated by this demonic force in her life. And she was so controlled, and that was the force of her life. But when she met Jesus, when she had this wonderful encounter with Jesus, and he set her free from all of those things that held her captive, from that day forward, Mary was with Jesus. She was part of that company of women who aren't mentioned in very many places, but it's mentioned enough that we know that there were those women that traveled with Jesus. They were there to serve him, to minister to him, to help him in whatever ways that they could. And so Mary Magdalene, even though she had this sordid past, she met Jesus and everything was different from that day forward. Everything was changed. She had a love for Jesus. She had such a desire to be with him, to be where he was at, to hear his voice, to experience his touch. Mary wanted to be there. I think that to whom much is forgiven,
is what the scripture talks about, and I believe it's probably related to Mary and her past. And she loved much. She loved much because she was forgiven of much in her past. My question today is, have you seen the Lord? I'm not asking you if you have a connection with the church or if you claim to be a Christian. I'm asking you if you have a real encounter with Jesus. I'm talking about the Jesus that's revealed in the New Testament, but even today is living, alive, working, ministering, touching the lives of people. And just as He turned her life completely around, so could He do that for you today if you'll just turn your heart over to the Lord. God is in the business of changing lives. And if you've really seen Him, it'll make the difference. So much to so that Mary Magdalene was with Him and would hardly let Him out of her sight. And it's revealed that she was one of those ladies who actually saw Him die on the cross, saw His body be taken down from the cross. She was with Him as long as she could be. When the Sabbath came, then she was no longer able to be with Him as they had placed Him in the tomb. But just as soon as the Sabbath is over, and we read here in John 20 in verse 1 that it was still dark, it was early in the morning, and she is making her way to the tomb. Now, it doesn't sound rational because it's not rational. It doesn't make sense because she saw Him die. She saw Him put in the tomb. She knows that He was dead. And the scripture here says that none of them really knew the scriptures that He was going to rise again from the dead. And so it appeared that all hope was gone. So all rational thinking is gone. And now she's just totally abandoned to the fact that she just wanted to be near to where He was, even if He was a dead body. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but it just shows to us, it reveals just how much that she loved Him and wanted to be near Him and wanted to serve Him. By the way, if there's any indication that you're truly born again, truly a Christian, one of the biggest indicators is that you just want to be near the things of God. You love church. You love the Word of God. You love opportunities to serve God. You want to be involved. You love prayer. You love the things of God. You're consumed with that's the priority of your life. If you really have been changed by the power of God, you just want to be near to where He is. Amen. So her first encounter with Jesus changed her life, and from that day forward, she was with Him. She was serving Him. She was with Him. And now it's obvious that He has been buried. He's in the tomb. And now she's still going. I don't know if there's a little faith or hope for a resurrection. It doesn't seem. It seems like really what she's going there for is just to somehow be able to minister to his dead body and to perform some of those Jewish traditions that were common, and just really just some last acts of love, and just pouring out her love for Him is what she came to do. And you'll notice though in this text, Brother Bowman, as she was going through all these verses this morning, I thought, well, we're going to do some repeat in the service today, and that's all right. The Bible says that she called, she saw that she was the first one to get there. She was the last one at the cross. She was the first one at the tomb. You can see the zeal of her heart, her love for Jesus. She's there. And then when Peter and John, these other disciples, came and they look in the tomb and they see nothing but the grave clothes that are left, the Bible says they left and they went home. Verse 10. These disciples went away again into their own home, but Mary stayed. She lingered while the others left. She stayed. I think that there's a lot to be said for people who have such a desire for the Lord and a love for the Lord that they just long for Him and want to be near Him. And when I'm talking this morning about, have you seen Jesus? Have you seen the Lord? I'm talking about not just some casual connection with Jesus, and not just a profession. Yeah, I'm a Christian, and then you go on about your life doing what you want to do. You just go on home and do, you know, fill your life up with everything else. I'm talking about a person who loved the Lord, and she was totally abandoned to Jesus and to who He was and to serving Him. And she looked for the, she was looking for the opportunity to serve Him all, as long as she could, all the way to the very end. Oh, for that kind of love and commitment. But there's something reserved for those people who have that kind of abandonment of love. There's something that's reserved for them that others miss out on, and Mary enjoyed and experienced. She really did see the Lord. She really did have an encounter with the Lord. I'm thankful that I don't have to talk about, you know, some religious experience or some, you know, event where I signed a card and said, now I'm a Christian. I'm glad that there's a spiritual reality to the fact that there was a day when I was a young person that I met Jesus. And He changed me, and He helped me. He turned my life around. I heard Pastor Carter Collins' testimony a few days ago where he told about his conversion. And he said when he got saved, he didn't feel any different. But he said the next morning when I woke up and I sat up on the side of the bed, he said, I just knew something was different. I just knew I was a changed person, and that this was going to be a new day, and my life was not going to be consumed with all of the things that I was consumed with before. Let me tell you, if you want a vision of the Lord, then you will abandon yourself to the pursuit of the things of God and all of the things that this world offers, money and possessions and prestige and all of the things, anything that the world has to offer. It doesn't mean anything. Most believe that Mary Magdalene was likely wealthy and had a lot of possessions. But yet it appears that everything is just totally abandoned for Jesus, because she loves Him, and that's all that really matters to her. Do you know that there's something reserved for that person who is willing to say, Lord, I want You and I don't want anything else. Lord, I want You and nothing else. I don't care. That doesn't mean that you'll never have anything else. It just means that you've placed Him as the center of your life, and that you've trusted Him with your life and your future and your plans, and whatever He wants to do with you, that's what you want Him to do. Amen. Jim Elliot, the famous missionary, who said, He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. What an amazing statement. And then he dies a martyr as a young missionary. He also said, The Lord, make my way prosperous. Not that I may achieve high station, but that my life may be an exhibit to the value of knowing God. There's nothing more important than the day that you've had an encounter with Jesus. And we see a little insight in here in this story of Mary Magdalene as to why she had such a glorious encounter with a resurrected Lord. As far as I can understand in these gospel accounts, she saw the resurrected Jesus first. Praise God. She saw Him first. You say, yeah, but what about who she was? She wasn't an apostle. And no, she didn't have all those qualifications. She was a common person with a past and with a lot of things, no doubt, to be ashamed of in her past. But she knew the Lord, and she had a love for the Lord and such a love for Jesus that she lingered while everybody else left. She stayed for that last moment with Him. And the scripture says that when she looked in the tomb, she's weeping. She looks in the tomb. It's a wonderful thing. Brother Bowman brought this out, and I was looking at this same wonderful picture of the mercy seat. Here's one angel on one end and the other angel on the other end. And now the resurrection. We don't, you know, for hundreds and hundreds of years, sacrifices were required. And they would come in and they would sprinkle the blood of the sacrifices on that mercy seat between those two cherubims on that Ark of the Covenant. Constantly, year after year after year, that blood was sprinkled there as a reminder of their sins, and that there had to be this remission of their sins continually. But now Mary, because she lingers, she sees something. She sees these two angels that are on one end of it, and the place where Jesus had lain. And what a beautiful picture it is of the mercy seat. And now for us as the church, that no longer do animals have to be killed. No longer does blood have to be shed. Because Jesus was that ultimate sacrifice. And so now we are forgiven and washed clean because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful message it is. And Mary saw that because she lingered. And she waited because she loved. Because she wanted to be close to Jesus. There are revelations and understanding of who Jesus is. If you want to really see Jesus, this resurrected Jesus, it's because it will only come as you are able to completely abandon yourself to Jesus and to the things of God, and nothing else really matters. Amen. If you're living for the Lord, but it's just kind of a casual thing, and the Lord don't really take up very much of your time, and you're not really very much really involved in the things of the Lord, don't live that kind of a life. What a wasted life. What a wasted life. We're all going to live. We're all have an appointment with death. We're all going to come down to the end of this thing. Our life is just a small little fraction as compared to all of eternity. How foolish it is to live out the days of your life thinking that this is really all that matters, when really this is such a small, minuscule portion of our life. And you should live your life in complete abandonment and love for Jesus Christ. And in so doing, you'll have the revelation of who He is. In His resurrection power, you can see Him for who He is. But Mary backs out of that tomb and turns around. It's almost as if she's startled by someone that's there. She still doesn't recognize Him for who He is. You know, that was a common thing. A lot of those post-resurrection appearances, they didn't recognize Him. Maybe it was his glorified state, but there's something about Him in this post-resurrection. That, remember those disciples on the road to Emmaus? They were all beaten down and discouraged because of the situation that they were in. They didn't see Him. They didn't know who He was. It wasn't until they sat out at the table and they began to break bread together and fellowship together. And then Jesus disappeared from that room, that they began to say, you know, didn't our hearts burn within us while we were walking along the way? This was Jesus. And apparently it was late at night, and they just got up and traveled back to Jerusalem to join the rest of the disciples, because they're so excited for the fact that they have had an encounter with the resurrected Lord. And then here at the end of this text that we read today, even when Jesus came into the room where the disciples were fearing for themselves, fearing for their own lives, Jesus revealed Himself. At first they're afraid, but then He reveals Himself as who He is. I just want to encourage you today to understand that you can really know this resurrected Lord. You can know Him. This is not just a religious agreement. Okay, I'm going to believe God and believe the Bible. But this is an encounter with Jesus. This is real. This is a supernatural thing. Jesus changes your life. He does transformation in your life. And that's what she experienced that day. Mary, this unlikely person. Matter of fact, women in New Testament times, Bible times, the word of women wasn't really given much credibility. As a matter of fact, a woman could not be a witness in court. She wasn't able to give a witness. Her word wasn't good enough. And but yet, Mary Magdalene is now given, as Jesus reveals Himself to her. He calls her by her name, Mary. Isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus knows your name? Amen. He knows your name. He knows everything about you. All of your needs. All of your problems. All of your worries. He knows your name. She didn't recognize who He was until He mentioned her name.
Then she recognized it. She recognized it. She was so close to him. She loved him so much that when he mentions her name, then she recognizes him. This wonderful revelation of this resurrected Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then he tells me, don't touch me. Don't touch me. I've not gone to my Father yet. But go to the other disciples. Here's the first. She couldn't be a witness in a court of law, but she was the first New Testament evangelist. Amen. Amen. The first New Testament evangelist who goes running to where the disciples were in hiding. And she says, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. What an encounter that she had. And the disciples, no doubt, were stirred up by that. No doubt it affected them. But they weren't changed until finally they saw him. And they saw the scars. They saw the wounds. They saw Jesus and had their own personal revelation of this resurrected Lord. Then the Bible says of those disciples that they were glad. They were glad when they saw the Lord. Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. Amen. Now here's the thing that's on my heart this morning. And I'll close with this. But I ask this question. I'm not asking you if you at some time in the past that you've made some commitment to Jesus or you've said, I believe in him. I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you this morning, do you know him? Have you seen him? Is he a reality in your life? Are you like Mary Magdalene? Have you laid aside everything to follow him in total abandonment to the Lord? That's the life of blessing. That's the life of revelation. That's the life where you understand more and more and more, and you learn about Jesus more and more. And the Christian experience is just that. You just continue to learn and to know more about him. Praise God. Amen. So this first evangelist goes and proclaims, I have seen the Lord. And really my message and your message really has not very much impact at all unless we too have seen him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know the Lord? Have you seen the Lord? It is a resurrected power. Have you been changed like Mary Magdalene was? Has Jesus revealed himself to you? Well, I'm not talking about something far out. I'm talking about this genuine, real experience that you can have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you long for that? Do you desire that more than anything? To see the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we are celebrating today the fact of your resurrection. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the time, Lord, that we had that encounter with you. It was life-changing. Lord, that all else, just like those disciples who cast their nets aside and left their money changing tables and all that they did, they left it all to follow you. And Lord, I thank you that you've called us to this life of complete abandonment to you. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would speak and stir the hearts of people in this building today. If there's any among us who don't know you, Lord, deal with their heart. Help them to see this is the life of joy, satisfaction. This is the life, Lord, that you've called us to and made available to us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. If we could just take a moment before we close out this service. I just want to ask if there's anybody here among us today and you really sense your need of help from God. You'd like prayer. You'd like us to pray with you. We'd be happy to do that. Is there anyone? You're in need of prayer. You just hold up your hand. Amen. I know it takes a lot of courage to do that. But do you really want to know him? Do you really want to know him? I don't want to be guilty of just being a person who is associated with the church but doesn't know the Lord Jesus in a personal way. Hallelujah. I want to know that he will call my name. We can have fellowship. We can have relationship. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I pray today that you'll turn your attention and that you won't get away from these verses, but instead you'll allow God to speak to your heart these coming hours, days. Hallelujah. Let's sing.